I enjoyed it actually. It was lovely to be out there playing. I haven't played for a while, and but it's nice to be out in front of the crowd again. And we've a good crowd here today. It was great. There's about 1,200, I believe, around the perimeter of the fence, and it's good fun, you know. And it's good. It's a good cause. I guess the lads out playing, and I was impressed with the local team. They're doing very well actually against us.
Yeah, there's one or two ex-Cork City captains in there as well, Greg and Dave Barry. Yeah. But we saw one of your old saves going back to the good old days, that brilliant save in the first 10 minutes.
Well, I gave the ball away, didn't I? But if you give the ball away, then you have to make up for it. So that's why I had to make the save. I swore I wouldn't dive when I came on the pitch, and I had to dive. Reflexes, you know, the whole, it just automatically happens.
Yeah. Your old club, Celtic, they got their season underway. They had a 2-0 win against Ross County in the early game. What are you expecting for them this season?
Yeah, expect decent things. They have a tough European draw. I'm away to Azerbaijan on Monday with them. They're 1-0 up in that first round, and I hope that's enough. I think they can score out there, so that would set them up then for almost the playoff game to get through to the Champions League. That would be fantastic for the club and fantastic for that group of players. There are about two or three players probably away from a half-decent team. You know, whether they'll get them players in, I don't know. But maybe if they got to the Champions League, then maybe by January they might go again and try and get one or two in, you know. But I think they'll win the league. I can't see any team touching them. Aberdeen last year gave them a little challenge, but they fitted out of it right at the end. And I think it'll be the same. It'll be Celtic and then Aberdeen and whoever else can then. The problem Celtic will be, they'll have is like most teams in European football, is how do you come back after that every game, you know? A team, they might lose a point or two, but I can't see them losing much more than that.
Yeah, and this year now as well, it's a full year that Ronnie Dial is in charge. I know last year it was kind of quick before Europe got underway, so he wasn't really able to implement his plans fully. That's obviously going to be a big benefit now this year.
I hope so. There's no excuses now, is there? Yeah, exactly. If he doesn't succeed in getting them to the Champions League, like in this round, they have to, if they get through, then even if they lose the next game, they're automatically in the Europa League. But if they lost this game, they would have to go into a playoff to get into the Europa League. And if they lost out in Europe, it would be a disaster for him and for the club. And in fact, it would be difficult for him to survive because it's his team now, it's his pre-season, he's been in the job a year. But if it goes the other way, he'll be a hero, and he'll kick on, because I quite like the way he goes about his game, and the way he has got everybody motivated, and the crowd quite like him now. But it's all about results with Celtic, you know.
Yeah, and we're here today remembering, obviously we're here for the Irish Guide Dogs for the Blind, for raising awareness of prostate cancer and for redevelopment of the ground, but also remembering Italia 90 and the great times in Irish football. Nowadays, with the World Cup group we've just got, we could have got a better draw, we could have got a worse draw.
Of course, Wales was in that pot one, and for us to get them, I think that's a bonus. You never know how Wales will be in a year or 2 years' time, you know, when you're playing them. So I think that's a real bonus. I think it's a good draw. We've just got to try to get through this group somehow and at least get to the playoffs. And that will build confidence with the group and with Martin and with Roy and everybody concerned. And it's not going to be easy because, you know, you've got Scotland going well at the moment. They're improved dramatically since they were, you know, a year and a half ago. And then the other teams, Poland, Germany, are tough. Not so great, but they all have to play each other. And Scotland have got a tough game away to Georgia to play. That could be a defending moment for them. We've just got to get out there and build on what, you know, what we have already, and try and get a bit of confidence into the team. And if we do that, then it'll kick on into the next one, into the qualifying for the World Cup. And I think the game's all, you know, I've said this many times, from a manager's point of view, it's almost like a 4-year process, you know. And I wouldn't judge Martin or Roy too much, especially Martin, the manager, in 2 years. I know people are saying it's an easy, we should be getting there in the third place and so on. But European football is not easy now, international football. So I wouldn't judge him. I would judge him the next year round, you know. Getting the playoff, I think, probably is essential for him to stay around, you know.
And finally, you mentioned it previously, Cork here today, big fans, big support out.
I've been down here before. I've come down to the dinner dance down here, and I loved it. I loved the people, and they were so welcoming. And we're back again, and it hasn't disappointed me. I love coming to this part of the world, and nice people. And if we can, you know, do something for the charities and for the lads that are playing with the League of Ireland, you know, or that group of League of Ireland players, it's given them a real boost. I wish I was around when we were about 40 years old. I'm an old man now. I'm 55, so I've lost out. If it was there, we could have kept the fitness up a bit better also.
No, I don't think it's just me at the moment. Obviously, there's a bit of trepidation because of the position that we're in. You know, we don't like being, you know, behind the likes of Scotland and Germany and Poland at the moment. You know, that's the reality of it. But we've got four games left. You know, we've got Gibraltar and Georgia coming up. And we've also got Poland and Germany. Now, I fancy our chances of beating Gibraltar away, and certainly fancy our chances of beating Georgia at home. So that, yeah, will take us on to, you know, 6 points from them two games. But it might mean we'll have to beat either Germany or Poland to get maybe into third spot, which is into a playoff. So it's still doable, if you like. We've still got some good players. Martin's got the players very focused on the games coming up. And it'll really be down to who holds the nerve between the four sides, because there's, you know, four teams chasing three spots. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that, and everyone feels that they've got an outside chance.
Yeah, and of course Scotland also play Germany and Poland in their remaining games as well, so it is still very open, I think.
But and then Scotland have also got Georgia away. Yeah. You know, we've already gone there. That was our first game of the campaign, and we were fortunate enough to win that game, scoring a very late goal to win
goal,
it. Yeah, McGeady scored the late goal to win the game. So that was a hugely important victory for us. And Scotland, well, no, that's not going to be easy. When you go out to Georgia, I think they're going to have a change of manager. Although they can't qualify, they're still a very proud nation, still a very proud team. And I expect them to, you know, try extremely hard against Scotland. So that wouldn't be an easy game for Scotland now. I think that might be quite difficult for them.
Yeah, and you mentioned the current crop of players that we have with O'Neill and Roy Keane. When you look back to 88, 90, there were teams, like we had three Celtic players, two Liverpool, there was, I think, three United players as well. We don't seem to have Irish players playing in the highest level of the Premier League at the moment.
Well, the problem, you know, you're quite right saying we had players playing at that level, you know, but
different times.
Yeah, different times. And listen, there wasn't, you know, kids from, you know, coming in from Brazil or Argentina, yeah, or from Nigeria or wherever, you know, from South Korea or Japan, yeah, that are currently in squads now. You know, there was a very limited area that you could actually choose from. You know, the scouts were looking in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, yeah, and Northern Ireland. They weren't going scouring the world for these youngsters. And that's the difference. You know, yeah, we got our opportunity, whereas now it's very difficult. You know, you have got to be a supreme talent to get an opportunity to go and play for a big club in England. So I wouldn't hold that against them. It's a different era, different timing, you know, a different group of players. You can only judge on what you've got now. Yeah. You can't hop back and say, well, were they as good as the teams before? That's not relevant to me. Yeah. I think it's all about the players I've got now. Are we getting the best out of them? I think we are. I think one of the problems we've got in Ireland as well is the diversity of sport. You know, so much for kids to do now. You know, you got your gar, you got the hurling, you've got rugby, you've got golf, which is really relevant. Yeah. You know, with Shane Lowry doing well, Padraig Harrington, you know, Paul McGinley being the Ryder Cup captain. Then you go to the north to see Rory and G-Mac and, yeah, Darren Clark. And young kids watch TV and they see these lads playing and they see their lifestyle that they've got, and then they want a bit of that. So, yeah, they're turning away from soccer in many respects and they're going and playing other sports, which is brilliant. Yeah. I've got nothing against that. But there's only a small number of youngsters coming through who are talented enough to play that variety of sports. And we're trying our very best in the soccer side of things to try and get them kids across. But it's very difficult. Yeah. You know, very difficult. Peer pressure. You know, mums and dads want their kids to represent the parish, represent the county. So that's when they go down the Gar route and the Hurling route. So, yeah, it's very limited, you know, because there's rugby that's really relevant at the moment, how well the you know, the likes of Munster is doing and the other side, Leinster, mm-hmm, and how they're doing international rugby with the Six Nations. Now lads want to play rugby rather than play soccer. So yeah, it's very tough out there at the moment.
Yeah, and we talk about, for Irish young players trying to get across the water to England, that they need to be perhaps at a level higher than they've ever been before. But we've seen recently the development of the under-17s Airtricity League. Mm-hmm. That's matching with the 19s league that's being created as well. So for the people who have missed out on that original chance, there's now hopefully another level that they can get to and eventually get.
Well, we're trying to get elite players in Ireland, yeah, you know, and I think the FAI are trying to level best, and the clubs are, you know, to get school of excellence, so the youngsters get the best chance, get the best coaches, give them the best facilities. But, you know, you're going to have to go out. If you want to be a professional footballer, and I don't think it's any different from my day to today, it's not something you can play at. It's not something, mm-hmm, oh, I'll dip in and out of it. You know, I'll train today, but I won't train tomorrow. That's not how I got my opportunity. I mean, I'd played every day. I mean, I'd go home after school, do my schoolwork, homework, and then I'd be straight out playing. I wasn't on a computer. I wasn't playing PlayStation or anything like that. There was none of them available. Yeah. That's what I had done, and I'd done it every day, and I'd done it religiously, and I'd try to improve myself every day. And if you want to be a professional footballer today and get your best opportunity to go and make a good living for yourself, that's what you have to do. You have to be out there participating, giving up on certain things, and really dedicating yourself and trying to improve yourself every day to become a better player. There's plenty more opportunities. There's more AstroTurf pitches. Mm. There's no reason why parents can't take their kids out in a friendly environment where you feel safe, a safe environment. Let them go out, your children go out there and try and play as much as they can. But there's always that balance between getting your schoolwork done, which I really advocate, because if you go into sport and it doesn't quite work out for you, you need something to fall back on, and that's a really good education. So get that balance right, but you have to be dedicated to go out there and train as much as you can.
Yeah, and you talk about yourself when you were younger, obviously putting in the hours that are needed, that eventually led to you, after your time with Oxford, going to Liverpool and winning 2 league titles and 2 FA Cups. We go into the next season now. The Community Shield begins this weekend and in the league the following week. What are your expectations for the Liverpool side going into this year?
Well, if they can break into the top four, I'll be delighted. But it's been 25 years this season coming, the 2015-2016 season, since Liverpool last won the league. I played in that team in 1991. And if you said to me all them years ago Liverpool wouldn't win the title, I thought you would be going to the Looney Farm. Seriously, I would say, no, there's something wrong if you don't think Liverpool are going to win it for another 25 years. So it's usually important that Brendan and his players go in this season with the mindset, we want to win the league. It's not just about finishing in the top four. They have to think that way. They have to get off to a good start. Now, when you look at the fixtures, and I haven't got them in front of me, but I do know there's a lot of tough games, particularly away from home in the early part of the season. So they have to hit the ground running. From day one against Stoke, they have to make sure that the performance level is right. Last season, they didn't score enough goals. They brought in Benteke. Origi's come in, as has Danny Ings. So they've got more firepower up front, and hopefully they can score the goals. But as important as scoring goals is making sure you defend and you're hard to play against. Liverpool weren't quite that last season. They were a little bit too open, gave up too many chances. So they have to defend much better this time around. And if they can do that, who knows? I mean, they came second 2 seasons ago, but they had Suarez and Sturridge playing at their best, as they had Sterling, whereas they haven't quite got that calibre at the moment. But still, I think they can give a good account of themselves and really attack it as best they can.
And just to go back, was it 91 or 92 you finished as your highest goal-scoring record with Liverpool?
Yeah.
But then the following season, Graeme Souness let you go.
Yeah.
I know Steve McManaman was coming into the time, but still, that must have been very difficult to take at the time.
But listen, managers are paid big money to make big decisions, and Graeme decided he wanted to go in a certain direction, and they let Peter Beasley go, Steve McMahon go, Steve Staunton, which was a huge mistake, and myself. Peter and Steve McMahon and myself were a little bit older. I was around about 30 at the time, whereas Steve Staunton was much younger, and Stevie had a fantastic future, and anyone could see that. So that was a huge mistake. It's never nice to leave a club like Liverpool, of course, but I was fortunate to go to Aston Villa. I had 3 great years there. We finished second in my first season there to Manchester United, who won their first title in 26 years, and we pushed them all the way. Great times, as was my 5 years at Liverpool. It's something that you never ever forget.
It's difficult. I'm not as fit as I should be at 52, and I haven't played for 3 years, so I wasn't particularly good. It's frustrating when you can't do what you once could do.
There was one turn though in the opening 2 minutes. I think you dropped the left shoulder and opened out. It was the old days again.
I get frustrated. I think you're so spoilt when you play, and what you can do, and then suddenly you can't. It's nice to be around the lads, and part of what today's about, that's the biggest winner today for me.
Yeah, and obviously it's a great crowd out here today, a brilliant crowd out in Cork.
Fantastic, games like this, and today we all suffer from, nostalgia, don't we? We all get all nostalgic when we have days like today, it was great, it's good fun, it's really good.
Yeah, and all the Irish guys back together again. The current Irish team struggling a little bit in the group, 2 points behind Scotland, I think it is, with 3 games to play. And what do you make of the form going forward?
I think the biggest disappointment for me in this group has been Scotland, that we've taken 1 point off them, got 1 goal. They were always going to be our major rivals in trying to get to at least the third place. And I think we sort of fell away. It's been a disappointing campaign in I think we need to be braver. I felt that we've played a little bit too conservative, and I think it's come at a cost, because now we're really batting against the wind. We're going to find it hard to qualify now.
Yeah, it could be said, like, in the Scottish away game, we didn't really perform to our levels. We kind of sat back and defended a lot. And in the Germany game, when we did eventually attack with a few minutes to go, we got the equaliser. Yeah. So, as you say, the braveness, you think that's something that we could change going into the World Cup qualifying group, maybe?
Well, Martin, as a manager, as a club manager, when he first started with Wickham and Celtic and Leicester, you know, he really felt he was a brave attacking manager. Mm. And I liked his style. I think, if I was brutally honest, I think the last few years since Sunderland and Villa, I think he's been a little bit more tactical, conservative, not losing games. And I think we don't really play sport like that. If I associate Irish sport, you know, I look at Gaelic and hurling, and I think it's all about winning and winning convincingly and being brave. And I've got to be honest, I haven't felt like that about our campaign so far.
But do you think, as a country, that we would prefer an Irish team that are attacking and losing, or that are defending and all Jack Charlton kind of days?
It doesn't come that you attack, you lose.
Yeah.
You know, football's been dominated. Like, I look at many sports, and I think that what you do see in golf, tennis, many other sports, even team games, that teams are very, very brave. They'll take it to you and make you ask questions of you. German football, a few years ago, Jürgen Klinsmann came in. He changed the identity of German football. Okay, it's Germany. They get loads of good players. But they played in a very aggressive style. Germany don't play like Germany anymore. Mm. Germany play with flair. They're just a great side to watch. Now, I think club football's been a little bit similar as well. Mm. I've seen Bayern Munich in recent years, Real Madrid, Barcelona. Now, again, we might not have that quality, but I do believe if you're braver, you've got much more of a chance of winning a game.
Yeah, and you mentioned Germany there in particular. I know they had a big, massive revamp of their actual youth system and everything. Mm. And currently in Ireland, we founded the under-17s electricity league in our country, and we have the 19s league as well. Do you think we need to focus on our own youth in our own country, and maybe that will benefit the seniors in the future?
Well, it won't do any harm, that's for sure. You know, if you can lift the level of the youth from, you know, going back even further to sort of under-13s, 12s, 10s, you know, you will always produce players. I was lucky enough to see Robbie Keane, Damien Duff, Shay Given, Richard Dunn all come through. And they come through and they shone. And it was exciting to see them. I think they came off the back of our group.
Yeah.
You know, when football was being embraced in Ireland and everyone wanted, you know, to play soccer, wanted to play football. And I think it's secular. You get more players keep coming, churning through, because what they're saying to their mums and dads, I want to play that sport, when they see us on the telly doing well. Yeah. And I think we've lost a little bit of that.
Do you think maybe so that the fact that we don't see many Irish senior internationals playing in the top, maybe top four, top five, six teams in the league? Mm-hmm. I know we have a couple of the Everton lads. James McCarthy is being touted for big moves. But do you think that could be an impact?
Again, it helps. You know, I think we've got a couple of players, and we've got the boy that was at Wigan, James McLean, going to West Brom. So he'll probably... You know,
and Robbie Brady, you know, was
Robbie Brady as well, moving to Norwich. So that always helps. You know, I was lucky. People like Ronnie Ray, Stan Aldo coming from Liverpool, Kevin Moran, Paul McGrath coming from Man United, O'Leary from Arsenal, Quinney from Arsenal, all playing for these big clubs.
Yeah.
You know, that has an effect as well.
Yeah.
We've got quite a lot of players that don't play for them type of clubs at the moment. So, again, need to try and find more groups. You can only, by getting them players, you've got to have a successful senior team.
Yeah.
And that's by qualifying. The excitement that comes around every time there's a Euros or World Cup. I was at 88 Euros. Ireland was buzzing. By 90, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And I think you get groups that come after that.
Yeah, and we talked about the big teams. Season starts next week with the Premiership. Mm. Who are you tipping for this year?
Well, I think I've got two groups. I've got the group who are very organised. I think United and Chelsea will be the best drilled. And I think the excitement will come from Arsenal. Maybe City. I'm not quite sure about City. And Liverpool have added a lot of flair as well. Fellaini, Liverpool fans are going to like him. He's a really tricky player.
Yeah.
And Benteke coming. So I think that there's two groups. Who's going to come out on top of, you know, the organisation or the flair? I would probably say that, again, that Chelsea will be very, very hard to grind down. Another year in the job. I still think there's going to be some big transfers as well between now and the end of August. So that will have an impact.
Yeah, and we had Ronnie in just a few minutes ago. He tipped Man City to actually finish fourth next season.
I'd go along with that.
Yeah.
I think City are going to find it very hard this season, because they've brought in Delph and they've brought in, obviously, Sterling. which are good additions, but they've lost two centre forwards in Jovetic and Dzeko, which I find quite strange. So I'd be really surprised if City don't make some impact in that market. They need someone. If they lose Aguero, Boney's only just come to the club, really, and he hasn't established himself there. So I do think that City have to get that department right, plus their back four. That back four has struggled last season.
And Community Shield finally tomorrow.
Yeah.
Arsenal-Chelsea, who are you backing in that one?
Well, I'm just looking forward to seeing Arsene Wenger, if he can just get one over Jose. It's his best opportunity. Yeah. I think he needs to look him in the eyes, Jose, after the game and say, I've got one over you. It's just a statement. Because I think if they don't do that, it's Chelsea and Mourinho again. The Arsenal players need to feel about beating one of the top teams, because that, to me, it ain't going to mean anything over the course of the whole season. But I think it means a lot to Wenger and the fans and the belief, and it just filters through to the team.
Tough on the legs, playing against players who are a little bit younger than you and a little bit quicker than you. And as you get older, your legs don't do what your brain's telling them to do as often. So, but it was enjoyable, and it was a great crowd, so everyone's having a good time.
Yeah, it's brilliant to be down in Cork. What do you make of the city?
I was in Carrickaline a while ago, Crosshaven, the Manway, Drina. So I've been all over Cork lately. So, and every time I've enjoyed it. People love coming down here.
Yeah, and as I was saying earlier as well to Paddy Bonner, we're here remembering Italia 90 and obviously the great times with the Irish teams. Yeah. At the moment, we're struggling in our group for the European qualifying. What do you make of the last few games now coming up?
That'd be great if you could win them all. I don't think we are. But you then hope that Scotland and Poland and Germany will just trip each other up somewhere along the line and give us a chance, even if we can get in a playoff and third position, that'll do.
Yeah, and also the World Cup qualifying group, we have Wales, Austria, Serbia, Moldova and Georgia. So could have been worse, could have been better?
Yeah, it could have been a lot worse. But they're very, very tricky games. Georgia, again, we've seen what it was like when we were over in Georgia this year. We come away with a win just about. They're no pushover. So it's a hard group to get out of, but we should be capable of doing it.
Yeah, and next week, start of the Premiership, it's back again. Liverpool going into it this year. What do you make of the signings?
I think they're going into it a bit better off than they went in last year.
Yeah.
But you're still trying to play catch up with Man United, Chelsea, Arsenal, Man City. They're going ahead. You know, although you're spending 100 million, they will spend 120, 150. So we're playing catch up. Hopefully, sometime soon, we can get as close to them as possible. When you look at it, it's a very open race this year. You know, Arsenal are playing well, or they've bought well. Man United have bought well. And Chelsea will be Chelsea. City is the one you would think that's, for me, I think City will finish fourth. Chelsea, Arsenal, Man U maybe.
So you think City will finish fourth? Surprising in some people's eyes.
Sterling's a good signing for them. But he's not the finished article, you know.
Yeah, he's very young.
So that's a future one, more or less, for them. But I think Chelsea are still very, very strong, and United have bought well.
Yeah.
And Arsenal, for me, have bought the best with the goalkeeper.
Yeah. And do you think Arsenal will need to bring in maybe one or two more if they want to mount a serious challenge this year?
They're using Walcott up front and Oxlade-Chamberlain up front. Giroud scored a lot of goals last year. Will he do the same again? But they need an out-and-out centre-forward, like Giroud, another one of them somewhere. Yeah. If they can find a top one, they'll have a chance.